House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee 3, April 30th, 1987.
To order, let's get started. We've got an agenda again that's fairly long, and let me just tell the crew here so that they'll have some idea of how we're going to follow the agenda. We have on work session 2294, which is a witness fee bill. We're going to put that over until next week. Apparently, there's some more amendments that need to be drafted that are not in order. And other than that, the chair will stick very closely to the way we have this published. It may be that the last bill on the work session will be interrupted by the public hearings that are posted. In other words, we may move 2324 to the very end because that's the last bill, and that may take some time and work on the public hearing and work sessions on 2520 and 2924 prior to that. With that in mind, I have invited testimony on House Bill 3197, and I've invited both Representative Springer and Representative Campbell's office to testify on that, and I have six people scheduled to testify. And Representative Campbell, you want to introduce them and tell us that they're aware of the time.
Right, they are. What I'd like to do is, as I introduce these folks, I'd like to have them come up and sit alongside of me, Mr. Chairman, and when they've completed, they can move back to the next one. And the order in which they'll testify will be Dwayne and Sylvia Richardson from Junction City, then Jim Ferguson, past member of the ARP Legislative Committee, will be the next one, Maxine Bush from Lincoln City, after that, Dolores Beard from Portland following Maxine, and then Hardy Cave from Portland, who's a member of the ARP Legislative Committee, will close out. One of our members, Hazel Kleber, I don't believe is here. Mr. Chairman, if they then start filing up in order to make their testimony, they recognize they have about 2 minutes apiece, so that they'll be talking fast as I am. The only comment I'd make is that we do support the Dash 3 amendments. The only problem we have with the Dash 5 amendments is the establishment of a continual relationship, and there are a couple of reasons why that creates real difficulty for about 80% of the grandparents involved, and I'm sure that some of my witnesses will comment on that. And I'll turn it over now. If you folks will introduce yourselves and then make your very short comments to the committee, and they'll ask any questions they might have. You can sit down.
I'm Dwayne Richardson, and this is my wife, Sylvia. We're here from Junction City, and we'd like to testify on the grandparents' rights bill. First thing I'd like to say is that I feel that it's a grandchildren's rights bill as well, because the grandchildren are being deprived of seeing the grandparents as well as the grandparents are being deprived of seeing the children. So I think that the grandchildren enter into it as much as the grandparents. And we were here 2 years ago testifying for passage of the grandparents' rights bill. And our situation has not changed. We're still unable to see our grandchildren. And I'd like to say that we're in favor of this bill passing 3197-3, and I'm opposed to 3197-2. It has some things in it that would be very difficult to define, and that's the things that would be difficult for anyone to come up with the correct answer. So if there's any questions you have, well, we'll be glad to answer them.
Questions? Thank you. Mr. Ferguson, that name sounds familiar to me.
Sounds familiar to me, too. Thank you very much, Chairman and gentlemen, ladies. I'm testifying personally rather than as a past member of the committee. I have had some problems for 10 years. My son remarried. He had the original children on their first marriage. He had the custody, so the and there was no problem when he was not remarried. Then he remarried, and the new wife decided that grandparents we don't need. So we did not see the children for quite some time. Now, he since has had two children, boys, I'm very proud to say, nice youngsters, with his second wife, and we're not seeing them either. Occasionally, he gets them away, apparently, and brings them down to Portland. He's in Salem. Imagine, I'm only 50 miles away, and I can't see my two grandchildren. Today, I'm 71 years age. You can say thank you, birthday, if you will. Anyway, I'd like to have this passed in my favor in order of a birthday present. The point is that these youngsters are not seeing their grandchildren. I'm not going to be around that long. I'm really not. Nobody cares, you know, at this point. So I'm worried about it. My mother, my wife is very upset about it, needless to say. And I won't go any further. We have no problem with the bill that's under the number -3. That was passed once before on the state legislature of the House. It was a fine bill. It was passed by a very large majority and got hung up for another reasons. But at any rate, we have no problem with that whatsoever. -2 and -3, it's not as encompassing, but we have one problem with it, which is on line 19 and 20, and that is totally unacceptable. You can check the bill. It's unrealistic in this day's world when there's so many early marriages and quick divorces, providing no opportunity in many instances for an ongoing emotional ties. Now, even the language in 5 is more acceptable, but it poses the same problem. It simply stops in these situations where there has been a very quick divorce, and sometimes no. Now, I don't know just where we stand on the problem of no divorce, but in number -3, we do take care of that. Where there are divorce separations and there is loss for hours or years, you cannot find them. The children are gone. I could recount here, if we had the time, we don't, hundreds and hundreds of situations when I was chairman of the ARP Legislative Committee, who knew I was involved in this, they kept telling me, you can't believe the stories. We cannot live with that particular clause, but please pass a bill that will straighten this thing out in terms of having both grandparents, both sets of the family, both grandparents having equal rights. The existing law does not grant equal rights. If you don't want, check it. Thank you very much.
I'm Maxine Bush, a resident of Lincoln City, a member of the Association of Retired Persons, and I'm speaking on behalf of the AARP State Legislative Committee, of which I'm a member. Also, I have enjoyed the role of a grandparent for some 26 years. Grandparents' visitation rights, an issue the members of AARP have wholeheartedly supported for the past 5 years. In 1985, the AARP State Legislative Committee, acting on behalf of our statewide memberships, endorsed HB 2428 with amendments. We need a balanced statute, one that will provide step-grandparents, as well as maternal and paternal grandparents, equal opportunity to seek visitation rights. We need an improved statute that will be beneficial in helping society correct those problems evolving from situations prevalent in today's society. 1985 statistics show an estimated 1 million children a year experience divorce of their parents. 59% of all marriages end in divorce. Many, and I repeat, many of today's children are born out of wedlock by cohabitating parents who subsequently separate. The latter is a position not presently addressed in existing statutes. Grandparents' importance to the family increases during the time of crisis, at which time they become mediators of anxiety and tension and fill a child's need for continuity of care following a marriage dissolution of the child's parents. In fact, they are the best and sometimes only force in stabilizing these situations for children. I'm going to save a little time. I have to say here, though, 42 states in 1983 statutorily authorized these visitation rights under specified circumstances. The scope of these statutes varies considerably, and they lack uniformity, which presents obstacles for interstate endorsement. And that's a very important thing that is lacking in most of them. Rather, they authorize a grandparent to petition the court asking that such privileges be granted. We are all aware of the confusion surrounding children of today, caught in a maelstrom of worldwide crime, atrocities, drug, alcohol-related problems, sexual promiscuity, and for many, broken homes, step-parents and step-siblings. In an era where home and security are constantly threatened, who can better uphold the ideals, morals, and temperance of a passing generation than grandparents? Thank you. I would like to add, as a representative of... Oh, I skipped a paragraph. I'm sorry, it's very important here. I'm going to go back to that. There are over 462,000 persons in Oregon aged 60 or over. This does not include the number of grandparents in their 40s and 50s. National figures state over 75% in that age group are grandparents. So that gives an estimate of a great many grandparents. Now, as representing this 460,000 senior people, and particularly those connected with the AARP, I would like to say that we would object to on page 4 of the proposed amendment, the reference, line 14 on page 4 of the amendment, we object to the line,
Mr. Chair,
grandparent does not include a step.
Dash 5 amendments, is that what you're making reference to?
This is from dash 3 amendment, 3197-3. And line 14 on page 4, where it says grandparent does not include a step-grandparent. Any grandparent in a time of very short time when their children divorce and remarry can become a step-grandparent. So there they have the problems of having to cope with their grandchildren and then the step-grandchildren. And it's very important that they be equally grandparents to both of them. And also...
She's talking about the language of 2019 and 20
line 19 and 20. Our group would consider that unacceptable. And that's on 19. The grandparent has established significant and ongoing emotional ties with the child. That's something that if you don't have the ongoing relationships, you can't very well establish. Are there any questions?
Representative Dix.
If you would be so kind as to go back over the numbers, both dash 3 and dash 2,
because
it was unclear to me what...
The first objection was on...
Which set of amendments? Dash 3?
Dash 3.
Okay.
And the second one was on both dash 2 and dash 5.
In dash 3, what page and line?
Dash 3
four,
is on page
14.
4, line 14.
Step grandparent
page 4, line 14. And the grandparent does not include a step-grandparent. And we would like that eliminated.
Eliminated or included?
Eliminated.
Do you have the other one, sir?
Yeah, I got the other one. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
You.
Oh, I see. May I just ask a question?
Yes.
What would you have, if anything, in place of that ongoing personal contact? And just let me put the question in context. How would you keep or have grandparents who had never shown any interest in the grandchild, who policy-wise I would think we wouldn't want in the courts and keep those people from being in the courts? I understand your objection to the ongoing personal contact, but I'm trying to get at the policy reason or the policy objectives that we'd like to see achieved, while at the same time taking into consideration the kinds of rights that you raise. Either one of you. I mean.
Well, I'd like to answer that in a way, because actually, a grandparent that does not have much contact on their own volition, as it isn't, wouldn't have any problems. They wouldn't go to court and petition for right to see the child. I think you're talking about isolated cases. I think most of the grandparents want a relationship with the grandchildren, and that's what we're seeking. Those are the calls we have from our people throughout the state. And believe me, it's a lot more predominant than you think. It's a very common thing with all this intermarriage and so forth, that grandparents are being denied. Does that answer your question? I think yours was isolated.
We understand what you're asking. However, grandparents do have rights, even if they don't have an ongoing concern or seeing the child. They are our children. They are our children's children. And the law already recites on all a whole raft of things of where we are responsible and what we should do. At any rate, you limit this too much, and the court can handle this problem that you're asking. This is a person who is not acceptable in terms of a visitation. I think the court can handle it.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Dolores Berard, and I'm rather a latecomer to this particular battle. Up until March, we were at least given the opportunity to go and deliver presents to our grandchildren at semi-appropriate times. This last March, even that was denied to us, and right now we don't have any visitation rights to see our grandchildren. We have two little girls aged 5 and 7. And another one on the way. We're grandparents we just feel that we're the victim of a person who is a very controlling person and who has convinced our daughter that they are going to have a perfect marriage, and who considers our marriage less than perfect, and therefore we cannot see her or the grandchildren because we have a less than perfect marriage. So far as I know, almost everybody I know has a less than perfect marriage, but that's neither here nor there. People have said to be patient or to wait, or they'll grow up, or all sorts of little, you know, placatory things that they say to you when they know you're having a difficult time. But childhood goes by so fast. We've never had our children in our home. I've never gotten to rock them to sleep. We haven't been able to take them to the family picnic. They have little cousins that they haven't met. Various family type things that to me are very important, and I think they're important to most people. And we don't get to do that. Our grandchildren are growing up, and it would be very nice if we at least had the opportunity to petition the court for a chance to have these children visit us in our home and meet the rest of the family and see the rest of the family. In our case, the children do get to visit with the other grandparents, and they do get to visit with the father's side of the family, but we're all persona non grata.
Mr. Chair, just one question. I appreciate your testimony. I was unclear during your testimony whether you're your daughter was divorced or separated?
They are not divorced. They are not separated. It's a very ongoing marriage. We don't fit any of the criteria of the current bill.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Harvey Cave. I'm the coordinator of the AARP Task Force for Legislation located in Salem, Oregon. The Board of Directors of AARP Chapter 158 in Portland, which is the largest chapter in the state of Oregon, at their regular meeting, April 28th, passed unanimously a resolution authorizing the AARP Task Force in Salem to represent their chapter membership in support of grandparents' visitation legislation as encompassed in House Bill 3197, sub 3, or any of the amendments included in that, and the relative legislation or statutes that place all grandparents on an equal footing before the law in Oregon. Existing statutes in this state offer access to the courts on this issue to only one side of the family in the situation of divorce or death of one spouse. The existing statutes offer nothing in the event of a marital separation, which in today's world is often the case for long periods of time and with devastation results on the emotional life of the child. Also on other members of the family, concerns for the children. The children need to know of the loving concern of other members of their family, their grandparents, and these times of distress and loss of one parent by death or divorce. Oregon statutes needs to be changed to reflect today's situation in family relations. This chapter and AARP supports House Bill 3197, sub 3, and we urge its acceptance and passage. And I thank you very much for your attention and consideration.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
Is your position any different than the earlier person that testified to include step-grandparents and change the dash 3 for that purpose, or?
It is the same to include step-grandparents.
Okay. Yeah, Representative Dix. Perhaps just a clarification. Step-grandparents, what constitutes a step-grandparent? Perhaps counsel could...
I think maybe we should direct that to the witness, and then I'm not... As to the intent.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Dix, in many cases at senior citizens' age, if there's a death of one spouse and a remarriage, that new person sometimes constitutes the step-grandparent, of course. And in many cases, they are of concern and interest, as well as their respective spouse, of the grandchildren. That's my opinion.
Let me just ask you the question: if you have a couple and a woman gets divorced, she has two kids, she has custody of the two children, is the custodial parent. She remarries to another person who has parents. Under this bill, would the other person's parents have the same right as the original husband, the original parent of the children?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dix, that's a question that I really think that your legislative counsel should be able to answer rather than I. I'm not that knowledgeable of the points of law.
Just we can get into this in work session, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why it's written the way it is now is that is the concern that I have. Mm-hmm. The parent that remarries, let's say a husband, the husband's parents, although they're of no relation to the children, then have the same rights as the situation you just described, which may be warranted for us to include step-grandparent. So maybe there's a way we can work through that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman,
Representative Campbell.
The only question I have is I wonder if Ms. Kleber from Monroe has arrived and I missed her.
that ends our testimony, and we certainly appreciate your giving us the time today. Thank
you very much. Is Ms. Kleber here from Monroe?
No.
We thank you, and I just indicate that I, and I talked to Representative Campbell before we started, I note there are some difficulties with the Dash 3 and the Dash 5 amendments, and it's my intent to carry this matter over to work session for when the subcommittee next meets, and to work on getting something that can have total acceptance in this committee, and to work on getting a bill out of this committee. So, yes, Council, go ahead.
Is the intent on the step-grandparent issue? I kind of like to have a feeling for what the intent is, sort of the legal issues aside, as far as definitionally who falls into the category of step-grandparent.
Let me ask it this way then, Council. Is there, of the witnesses that testified, is there any one of you that wished to step forward to speak on behalf of the group, not in legal technicalities, but just so far as the question Council asks, intent-wise? Mr. Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if I could also ask a question.
Sure.
Just so that you can have a feel, and that is number three amendments that you've been speaking to. With the language the way it is with the step-grandparents, you object to that, is that the case? Or if that language as totally the way Dash 3 is were accepted, would that be an area that you could accept?
Well, Dash 3 in terms of the ongoing relationship is practically acceptable.
That's fine.
But the other problem is a serious. Let me answer his question and maybe it'll answer you. One of the problems that Mr. Representative, Chairman Representative Dick, getting to your situation is if you have an ongoing relationship, a new marriage, which you're talking about, and the step-grandparents, very frequently, those are the parents that go on for quite a bit of a time, particularly if they've been a new marriage and they have some new youngsters, or even, you know, the step-grand, it sometimes can go on 4 or 5, 10 years. And that step-grandparent is very much involved with this child and very much concerned. And frequently, even if there's a divorce in the situation, very often the step-grandchildren, who was the step-grandchildren, it has more concern and worry about those children than the was. You follow me?
No, I understand.
Yeah, okay. Without getting a little that relationship is a, you know, it's a loving situation, and that's basically it. I don't know what else to answer.
I think what you're trying to say is any grandparents, whether they are for their loved grandchildren or whether step grandchildren, are essential.
And the loving situation is just as important to the children, particularly.
If I might just ask a question of I think Representative Campbell, that answers your question. But Representative Dix, is that getting anywhere at the intent issue?
So you do intend for people who may not be blood related to the children to have the same rights as grandparents who are related, due to the fact that through a number of years they can be as close with that child.
That's correct. We don't think the legislation, once you're going to do it, let's do it right. And we don't think that should be in there for the reason which I just said. If there's a real problem with it, it's going to go to a court anyway, and they'll solve it.
Go ahead, Representative
Dix. I'm just curious. The next time we have a work session, and Representative Bellamy or the chair may be able to answer this, doesn't that, in some instances, give more rights to the step-grandparents than it does to the stepfather? And maybe, I'm just curious, in a divorce situation.
I think that's something that you might want to look at between now and the next work session.
I understand what you're getting to, but we got this piece of legislation in front of us. We can't solve all the world's problems, in this kind of situation.
Okay, let me ask this. I think that you
clearly stated the intent behind your objection to not including step grandparents in the bill. I think we can handle. That's what we're going to work on. The legalities involved and where that takes us, plus the intent on formulating this bill properly. Maybe not 100% to your liking, but properly in our minds.
Wasn't 100%
thank
the last
you,
time.
Thank you all for coming.
Just give me that birthday present, that's all.
May I say one more thing? The step-grandparent, if you deal with them, you can say, you can be discriminating. So you can turn around the other way and be discriminating against the children and say, you as a grandparent don't have a right to see your step-grandchildren. So it can be equally either way. So we shouldn't be discriminating.
Thank you.
Thank you
all for coming. With that, and with the committee informed on that, let's work on 3197. We'll carry it over till next week. Close the work session on 3197, and we're through two bills already. Let's go to 3374, and I'll open the work session on 3374. Council, you're a